We came across the story of a blues man from the 1930s, a guy called Robert Johnson. Now, the story goes that Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil at a crossroads in the Deep South. He sold his soul, and in return, he was given the secret of a black technology, a black secret technology that we know to be now as the blues. The blues begat jazz, the blues begat soul, the blues begat hip-hop, the blues begat R&B. Now, flash forward 200 years into the future. Next figure, another hoodlum, another bad boy scavenger poet figure. He's called a data thief. 200 years into the future, the data thief is told a story. If you can find the crossroads, a crossroads, this crossroads, if you can make an archaeological dig into this crossroads, you'll find fragments, techno fossils, and if you can put those elements, those fragments together, you'll find the code. Crack that code, and you'll have the keys to your future.
Last time I did this, I carried with me three kind of, talismanic objects, you call them. The first was a copy of Jacques Derrida's Of Grammatology. And the reason I would carry that with me for something like this was because of the wonderful introduction that Gayatri Chakravorty Spivak provided for Derrida's book, and respect and gratitude where it's due, I would not be in this film were it not for Gayatri. The story that goes with that is this. I was a huge fan of the work of Grail Marcus, who in, I think, 1976, did a book called Mystery Train, Images of Rock and Roll in America, or Images of America Through Rock and Roll. He did a wonderful piece on the historiography, the mythology of a rural blues man by the name of Robert Johnson. I was so taken by what Grail had written about Johnson that I went out and bought the album King of the Delta Blues. My feeling when I listened to the album over and over and over again in the context of the then emerging black electronica music culture that was represented by techno, by house, by jungle, and to a lesser degree by digital dub, was that there was something in the mythos of Johnson that provided a kind of progenitive opening through which these new musics could be understood. So I would have a copy of Grammatology, I would have a copy of Mystery Train, I would have a copy of Robert Johnson's King of the Delta Blues Singers. I don't have them with me, but I'd like to thank, in retrospect, Robert Johnson, Grail Marcus, and Gayatri Chakravorty Spivak. I should say something about Black Audio Film Collective. We were a novel and new kind of cultural intervention into the mainstream, in that we were all from non-filmmaking backgrounds. We were art students, we were sociology students, we were psychology students. We all felt that some assemblage of sound and vision could act as a kind of carriage for culturally, politically, politically transformative ideas, our presence coincided with a moment in British broadcasting when there was a slight opening through which a certain kind of radical documentary could find mainstream exposure. So between 1986 with Handsworth Songs and 1998 with Gangsta, The Tragedy of Tupac Shakur, we managed to produce a series of really, if I say so myself, interesting ways of engaging both with the documentary form and radical black content, or radicalized black content, or radicalized black content to do with radicalizing history in the present. So that's Black Audio Film Collective. Now, Last Angel was a television documentary. It was commissioned in 1993 by Channel 4 and a German broadcasting agency called ZDF. Black Audio produced it. It was produced and broadcast in October 1995. The film comprises interviews with musicians Derek May, Goldie, a guy called Gerald, Carl Craig, Juan Atkins, DJ Spooky and George Clinton, cultural theorists Greg Tate, Kojo Eshin, John Corbett, as well as writers Samuel R. Delaney, Octavia Butler and Ishmael Reed, astronaut Bernard Harris, and actor Nichelle Nichols. It contains archival film comprising cinematic, newsreel, photographic and phonographic and archival material, and a location-based science fictional narrative. The intent of the film was to affirm and cohere the ideas, practices, practitioners, technologies, artifacts, and historical resonances of black cultural and political esoterica, which constitute the marginalia of black cultural expression. Central to the film is a science fictional narrative of a time-traveling artifact collector from the year 2195, the Data Thief, whom I describe as a science fictional correlate of Robert Johnson, a bad boy scavenger poet figure, is the way I put it in the film. Johnson, a 1930s blues musician, is cited in popular music historiography in the work of Pete Welding and Grail Marcus as the protagonist of a supernatural narrative on the gaining of musical knowledge. The Data Thief has come to the past, the 20th century, to gain knowledge of the future, the 22nd century. His sole clue is a phrase, Mothership Connection. Last Angel's narrative comprises the Data Thief's attempts at finding the meaning of the phrase through a series of interviews gathered by traveling through time. The Data Thief's quest begins at a crossroads, the location in popular music historiography of Johnson's acquisition of musical knowledge. My Body, doubly performative as Last Angel's presenter and actor, and My Voice, present as the film's narrator, both of which are present as figurations of my screenwriting, constitutes the medium through which the film's themes were articulated and rendered in collaboration with the film's director, John Comfra. In my writing, The Body is a body of citational writing, in which I mix genres and produce bodies that are effects of what Deleuze calls a linguistic corpus. I'm going to take you through the research as it impacted on the film in its pre-production, production, and post-production stages. There are themes that are in the film that I want to tease out. questions of citationality, questions of Mid-African diasporic unconsciousness, the idea of the crossroads and the black body, questions of black popular and non-popular culture and Afrofuturism, the idea of a virtual Africa, the question of performance and writing. But let me go to the pre-production first. There's always a division of labor in these things. What we did, we employed a researcher by the name of Floyd Webb and Kojo Eshin to assist us in gathering phonographic, textual, and visual documentation. This included the music of Sun Ra, Astro Black, George Clinton, Mothership Connection, texts by Manuel Delanda, War in the Age of Intelligent Machines, John Corbin, extended plays sounding off from John Cage to Dr. Funkenstein, Mark Derry's Flame Wars, Samuel R. Delaney's Mad Men, filmic material such as Space is the Place, and textual material such as Omniverse Sun Ra, the latter two both being about Sun Ra. To this corpus, I added texts by Ivan van Sertima, his Egypt Revisited and Blacks in Science, Ancient and Modern, Valerie Wilmer's As Serious as Your Life, Delaney's The Motion of Light in Water, Sex and Science Fiction in the East Village, his Tales of Niverion, Octavia Butler's Parable of the Sower and Kindred, Graham Locke's Forces in Motion, Ishmael Reed's The Last Days of Louisiana Red, Reckless Eyeballing and Japanese by Spring. I also contributed to music by Ishmael Reed, a brilliant album called Kanja, Music for the Text of Ishmael Reed, Keith Hudson's The Black Morphologist of Reggae, Burning Spear's Resting Place, Carl Craig's Throw, the Basic Channel Remix or Reshape, John and Alice Coltrane's Cosmic Music, John Coltrane's Infinity and Live in Seattle, Ultramagnetic MC's The Four Horsemen, Dr. Octagonocologist, Model 500's Deep Space, Lee Perry's The Millionaire Liquidator, Battle of Armageddon, and Time Boom X the Devil Dead, Derek May's Music for the Tenth Planet in Chaotic Harmony and Icon, Sun Ra's Strange Celestial Road and Sunrise in Different Dimensions, obviously Kraftwerk, The Man Machine, a guy called Gerald's Black Secret Technology, Four Heroes Parallel Universe, and Robert Johnson's King of the Delta Blues Singers, as well as a plethora of texts, journals, magazines, and pamphlets on African cosmology, Ethiopianism, and Black diasporic history. Kojo Eshin's most valuable contribution was Mark Derry's Flame Wars, which as you'll know contains Derry's founding text on Afrofuturism, Black to the Future, interviews with Samuel R. Delaney, Greg Tate and Tricia Rose. I'm going to describe how Derry's text and Stuart Hall's text, What is This Black in Black Popular Culture, informed the thinking and the making of Last Angel. Last Angel is a citational work. The value of all this material was its potential for a script writing based on citations. I used this research material to script the questions and potential answers that formed the film's interview texts. I read, I watched, I listened, and in dialogue with John Comfra, used this material as the basis first of a kind of preliminary document of citations and historical, literary, technological, photographic and phonographic connections between and across the margins of Black culture, and then a source material for a number of script outlines. I want to describe some of the ways that citationality functioned in my writing. I'll give you 6 or 7 examples. The first one is the term crossroads, of which Johnson sings in Crossroads Blues. It's the location in my science fictional narrative of the data thief's archaeological dig. in relocating the motif of Johnson's autobiographical blues fiction from its pre-Second World War, pre-black electronic music, rural location to a technologically trumped science fictional future. I was also following Derrida's idea of the citation as that which can be the object of a fracturing of its context of production and thereby serve to open and operate in new contexts, which in the case of Last Angel is one of genre. Here's another example. Grail Marcus's citation of Pete Wilding's text on Johnson and my use of Robert Palmer's work on Johnson to engage with Johnson, unmediated, as Roland Barthes prescribes, by a commentary that would explain and thus have a critical privilege and edge, as Barthes calls it, over the commentary it describes, and whose function would thereby be that of a meta-language. And here's the quotation with which began a citational chain of music criticism that I brought to the film. It's a paragraph from a text called Hellhound on His Trail, Robert Johnson by Pete Wilding, published in the jazz journal Downbeat's Yearbook, Music 66. And it's based on an interview with Johnson's mentor, a guy called Edward Sunhouse. And here's the quote. Johnson was, at this time, about 21 or 22, House said. The older blues man recalled that when Johnson came to the dance near Banks, which is somewhere in Mississippi, his guitar style was fully shaped, revealing the same mastery as is evident on his recordings a few years later. Sunhouse suggested, in all seriousness, that Robert Johnson, in his months away from home, had, and here's the quote, sold his soul to the devil in exchange for learning to play like that. Marcus's citation of Wilding's attribution of a quotation to Sunhouse and Robert Palmer's account of Johnson's deal with the devil at the crossroads is itself a citation of Johnson's relatives and blues researcher Mac McCormick form the narrative of the association of Johnson with the supernatural. So Johnson didn't make this stuff up, it wasn't his invention, it's pure historiography. Marcus's text is the link in the chain of citations of Johnson that comprised my research for Last Angel. Pearson and McCulloch cite the evaluation in Wardlow and Camara of this narrative chain as the work of leaps of faith, speculation, insinuation, or pure fiction. I condense this citational chain in my first presentation in the documentary. It comprises the story whose discovery I describe at the beginning of the film. The Robert Johnson I introduce is therefore a textual figure of this chain of citations. Halfway into the film, when I turn to Palmer's story, The Rumor Which Has It, I follow the method with which I started by presenting this story with that of the data thief without conferring a claim to historical truth on either science fictional or supernatural narrative. In presenting without any prefatory remarks both stories as stories, whose generic conventions designate them as works of fiction, I was aware that I was using fiction, albeit not in the pejorative sense in which it's used in Pearson and McCulloch, as the narrative means by which Last Angel would conform to the founding definition of documentary filmmaking, which Hardy attributes to the description in his work on John Grierson of the creative treatment of actuality, actuality in this instance being no more than a chain of fictions, reconstituted, as Derrida suggests in his reading of Mallarmé's Mimique, as a reading which in Last Angel is that of music journalism presented as supernatural fiction. Thank you.